Good morning. Welcome to worship. I know you all can probably not see me at this time. We have a very exciting and historic event here this morning. We are having, at least a first in my ministry, a parking lot baptism. I'm guessing, unless there's an emergency over the years I don't know about, probably the first parking lot baptism in the history of this congregation. So this is a very wonderful and exciting day. Emerson Kemp will be joining our congregation by the Sacrament of Holy Baptism this morning. Also, some historic events on our calendar this week. Our oldest member, Doris McCaughey, will be turning 99 tomorrow. We wish her a very happy birthday. And our second oldest member, Mary Sox, turned 95 this past Wednesday. So we give thanks for those wonderful saints in our midst. Some other announcements as we begin our worship together. The Gifts Committee will once again be collecting your time and talent sheets and your financial commitment cards on the way out at each exit, if you remembered to bring those this morning. If you have not brought those yet and don't have them today, you can bring them by the church office or mail them in. We appreciate your commitment to our congregation. Next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, we will have our trunk or treat here in the Fab parking lot. Also remember that nominations for council from the congregation are due to Anna Marie Plyler by Wednesday, this Wednesday at noon. And with that, we will begin our worship and begin our baptismal liturgy. God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us a new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. By water and the word, God delivers us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. We are united with all the baptized in one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and joined in God's mission for the life of the world.
We present Emerson Atlas Kemp for baptism.
I will make a note to the congregation at this time. I know you can't hear all of the responses. If you are able to bear the cold for a minute and roll your windows down, you might be able to participate a little more fully at this time. And now, Eric and Amy, called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, do you desire to have Emerson baptized into Christ?
I do.
As you bring Emerson to receive the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities to live with him among God's faithful people, to bring him to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, place in his hands the Holy Scriptures, and nurture him in faith and prayer so that he may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help Emerson grow in the Christian faith and life?
I do.
Sponsors, do you promise to nurture Emerson in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit and to help him live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church?
We do.
People of God, do you promise to support Emerson and pray for him in his new life in Christ? I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God?
I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. And through the sea, you led your people, Israel, from slavery into freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and the resurrection, you set us free from the power of sin and death and raise us up to live in you. Pour out your Holy Spirit, the power of your living word, that those who are washed in the waters of baptism may be given new life. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Emerson Atlas Kemp, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You belong to Christ, in whom you have been baptized. Hallelujah. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give your daughters and sons new birth, cleanse them from sin, and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Emerson, the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Emerson Atlas Kemp, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let us welcome the newly baptized. We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Join us in your giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming word to all the world.
This baptismal shawl is made by the congregation and is presented to you, Emerson, to remind you of God's love for you, the warmth of God's embrace, and quite appropriate on this chilly morning when you've just had water placed on your forehead. Welcome to God's family, dear child of God.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, raise your throne in our hearts. Created by you, let us live in your image. Created for you, let us act for your glory. Redeemed by you, let us give you what is yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasure of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I arm you that there is no one beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, Whose head is this and whose title? They answered, The emperor's. Then he said to them, Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's. And to God the things that are God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning to God's children out there. I call your attention up here to me for a moment. I want to see a show of hands. How many of you like to receive gifts? I see some hands going up. We all love to receive gifts. Don't we? We enjoy getting things for special occasions, receiving things just because. It's always nice to be surprised with a gift. As God's people, we have many gifts to share. This morning, our gifts committee, that's right, we have a whole committee, a whole group of people who work together to gather our gifts to serve God. They're going to be helping us take some things up after church. But I want us to think for a minute about gifts, not just that we give, but gifts that we receive. This morning,
Emerson received the gift of baptism, as many of us have. He received a baptismal candle, as many of us have. He received a baptismal blanket, as many of us have. Those gifts are to remind him of how much God loves him. You all received the gift of life from God. You're here because God loves you and wants you in the world. You received the gift of baptism, chosen by God and claimed as God's child forever. And you're given other gifts, the gift of family, the gift of this church family. We'll share the gift of communion shortly. God gives us so many gifts. And God gives us the chance to share those gifts with others. Some gifts you can share might be the gift of your singing voice. Our children gift us with that on a daily basis. Could be a gift of something that you make or draw for a loved one, the gift of time that you spend with people you love. Receive God's gifts today and give God's gifts this week. Let us pray. Dear God, we love receiving gifts from you. Help us to see all you have given us and to be thankful. Help us to share your gifts with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember, over the last few weeks, we've been in the temple courts with Jesus and the religious leaders of his day. And there we've heard in Matthew's gospel various parables, questions, and arguments that all boil down to the basic issue of authority. Who is in charge? By what power does Jesus heal and teach and preach? Today, this argument over authority reaches a new height when the Pharisees come to ask Jesus a question. Now, we are told outright by Matthew that this is a trap. The Pharisees begin with flattery, of course, but soon their plan becomes apparent to Jesus and to us. They think Jesus is caught in a no-win situation. If Jesus were to answer, "It is unlawful to pay taxes to the emperor," the Pharisees could turn him in to the Romans for sedition, for tax evasion. If, however, he says, "It is lawful and good to pay taxes to the emperor," the Pharisees had two ways they could trap Jesus. They could turn the people against him for supporting the unpopular conquering Romans and their crippling taxes. Or they could get him for blasphemy, for supporting Caesar as divine rather than God Almighty. They believe they have thought two moves ahead. They think they will win easily in this battle of wits with Jesus. It's important for us to note that this discussion takes place in a very particular spot, in the temple courts, very near the holy habitation of the God of Israel. But it also takes place more generally within the city of Jerusalem, a holy city to be sure, but a conquered and occupied city as well. And in that holy place of a conquered city, the Pharisees reveal that they have divided loyalty. Despite their pretensions of holiness and righteousness, the Pharisees, we read, are in league with the Herodians. Now, we're not exactly sure who these Herodians were, but they were supporters of the dynasty of King Herod the Great, whom you may remember from Matthew's story, the beginning of the gospel, about the wise men's visit to the infant Jesus. Herod was essentially a puppet king, called the King of Israel, but put in place by the Romans to maintain their stranglehold on the conquered people. And so while the Pharisees were claiming, among the people anyway, to want to return the nation to the throne and line of David, here they pursue an alliance with these Herodians who want the throne to remain with the descendants of Herod and by extension, the Romans. Jesus, we read, was aware of their malice and said to them, "Y'all are hypocrites. Why are you putting me to the test? In other words, the Pharisees, in trying to expose Jesus as having divided loyalty, in trying to expose Jesus as either a puppet of Caesar on the one hand or a traitor to Caesar on the other hand, reveal themselves to be compromised. They themselves are hypocrites. They themselves are double agents playing on the side of both God and Caesar, pitting Jerusalem and Rome against one another for their own personal gain. It's all about authority. It's all about control. So how does Jesus reverse the trap on them? The answer lies in his seemingly benign request, "Show me the coin used for the tax." The coin in question, a denarius, we are told, was a small silver coin worth about a day's wages for an average laborer. It was Roman legal tender. Inscribed on the coin was indeed an image of Caesar Tiberius, along with his title, his inscription. The inscription read, and please pardon my poor Latin, "Tiberius Caesar Divi Augustus Filius Augustus Pontifus Maximus." I know you all are great Latin scholars, so I'll tell you this in English. The coin said, "Tiberius Caesar, majestic son of the divine Augustus, high priest." Think about the claim that coin was making about the one whose image appeared on its surface. Tiberius Caesar, majestic son of the divine Augustus, high priest. There in that title, in that inscription, Tiberius claimed not only to be divine himself, a son of God, but also claimed the role of high priest. And Jesus asks the Pharisees, who purported to worship no one but God alone, who pretended to support control of Jerusalem and the temple by God alone and by his high priest, Jesus asks them, "Do you happen to have a Roman coin on you?" They have no trouble producing it. And the trap backfires. The Pharisees are caught red-handed with imperial paraphernalia there on their own persons, there in the temple, in the house of the living God. They're holding coins that declare Tiberius to be the son of God, to be the high priest of God. Jesus hits home the point that they are hypocrites. He doesn't have the Roman coin on him, but they do. Yet he takes it a step further, making the Pharisees answer his questions. Whose head is this? Whose title is this? When he asks them this, he's essentially asking them, "Remind me again, who is the Son of God? Who is the high priest to you? Who do you serve and follow?" They answer point blank, "The emperor." Who is their God? Who is their priest? To whom are they loyal? Their answer says it all. Then Jesus says, finally, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's." We often use that famous phrase to justify some idea of the separation of church and state, something Martin Luther might have called the doctrine of the two kingdoms, the idea that there's a sacred and a secular realm, each owed something from all of us. But Jesus is not interested in their question as they ask it. Jesus is not concerned here with who pays what tax. The issue for Jesus is not how do we divide up the world and our loyalties so that we function in a society while maintaining our integrity as God's people. That's a very important question and one with which we should wrestle. But Jesus is not primarily interested here in figuring out what percentage of our loyalty is due to Rome or Washington, and what percentage can be safely kept until Sunday at church. Instead, remember the issue here is authority. Who has authority? Is it Caesar? Is it Rome? Is it the Pharisees? Is it the Herodians? Ultimately and finally, it is God. And that is the point Jesus is making. By asking the Pharisees to produce the blasphemous coin and pronounce Tiberius to be Son of God and High Priest, Jesus makes clear nothing truly or ultimately belongs to the emperor. Their loyalty is misplaced and they betray their own divided and compromised position. The Pharisees, after all, know good and well that God, not Tiberius, is divine. Jesus merely urges them to start practicing what they preach. It's just as Jesus says to Pontius Pilate in the Gospel of John during his trial, when Pilate says, "Do you not know that I have the power to free you or the power to put you to death?" Jesus answers him, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." You see, God's authority, as revealed through the life, mission, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the only true and lasting authority. And the Pharisees not only missed it, they revealed that their functional authority lived not in heaven, but in Rome. "Whose image and whose title is on this coin?" Jesus asks. That term for title or inscription only shows up 4 times in our New Testament. It comes up twice to refer to this incident between Jesus and the Pharisees, to mean an inscription, a title on a coin. But the other 2 times it comes up at the end of the gospel story. And there it refers to the inscription placed above Jesus on the cross. "This is the King of the Jews." That is the inscription that finally matters. The one who has true authority exercises it not from a throne or a palace in Rome, but from a cross on a little hillside outside of Jerusalem. The one who has true authority does not mandate or compel others to bow down to him. Rather, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The one with true authority doesn't insist on having coins minted in order to demand taxes be paid to his own glory and benefit. Instead, he says, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." You see, that inscription, the one placed over our Lord on his cross, which Rome meant as mockery of Jesus, could not have been truer. "This is indeed the King of the Jews, the Son of the living God, the one who will finally fulfill God's plan of life and salvation for Israel and for all the nations of the earth." And the Pharisees missed this great good news because they were too busy with money, with pride, with power, with malice, to notice true authority, true glory, true power when it came into their midst in the person of Jesus Christ. And so the primary question this scripture verse asks of us and asks us to wrestle with is the same question at the root of the Pharisees' argument with Jesus. It is a question of authority. Who or what has authority over us? To whom do we owe ultimate trust and allegiance? At this point, I invite you to look in a mirror. If you're in your car listening to this, you're in luck. There's probably a mirror somewhere close by you, on your visor or windshield or the side of your car. A smartphone with a camera or even the screen of your phone will do in a pinch. If you're listening later at home, take a moment to find a place you can see your reflection in the mirror. Look at your forehead in that reflection. Whose image is there? And whose inscription? To whom do you belong? When others look at you, what authority, what power do they see at work in and through your life? I want you to wrestle with those questions this week as you look at yourself in the mirror. Because there are 1,000 emperors every day competing for your loyalty. There are millions of little things that seek to give us that feeling of authority and responsibility. Whether it's a boss or a governor or a president or a candidate, whether it's a bank or a business, a hobby or a home, a family member or a friend, to whom do you ultimately belong? Whom do you ultimately allow to have authority over your life? Look at yourself in the mirror now, friends. Whose image, whose inscription is there? You have been baptized into Christ. When you were baptized, someone spoke over you these or similar words, the same words I spoke over Emerson this morning. I speak them over you again here and now, and I invite you to trace the sign of the cross on your forehead in the mirror as I do so. You, child of God, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are marked with the cross of Christ forever. Whose image, whose inscription, who has given you everything you are and everything you have? Who is it who knows everything about you and chooses you in love anyway? It is our merciful God. You belong to Christ, in whom you have been baptized. Give therefore unto God the things that belong to God. May your life this week be given to the one whose image you bear, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May your life this week bear witness to the loving power of God at work in you, that when others see your good works, they may indeed glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. With confidence in God's grace and mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Gracious God, you call us by name and invite us to share your good news. Send your Holy Spirit among preachers, missionaries, and evangelists. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of praise, the heavens and all creation declare your salvation. From the rising of the sun to its setting, may the whole universe show forth your goodness. Raise up devoted stewards of all that you have made. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all, may your word of justice sound forth in every place. Restore divided nations and communities with reconciling truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of light, we pray for those living with pain, illness, isolation, grief, anger, or doubt, especially those who are on our hearts this day. Join their voices in a new song, assuring them that you call them each by name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of truth, you show no partiality. May your Spirit guide the work of justices, magistrates, court officials, and all vocations of the law, that your promise of restoration may be known. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Living God, as you raised Jesus from the dead, so raise up those who have died in you. We give thanks for their witness, confident of your rescuing welcome for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Listen as we call on you, O God, and enfold in your loving arms all for whom we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of peace with one another. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.